Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. Today we have Dawn Carter to chat about her new book. Sorry, everyone. New thing, and I'm not used to it. To chat about her new book, Out of the Mist, The Secret. Welcome, Dawn.
Thank you.
I didn't know it sounded like that.
Well, you got to keep it interesting, right?
Well, I was trying to expand my show. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Dawn, why don't you tell the audience a bit about yourself and your background?
As far as my background, I have several loves, but as far as for writing or just me?
Both. Just in a little bit so the audience can get to know you.
Well, I have two major loves, and that's writing and law. Mm-hmm. I have my forefront in both of those. I write because it's what I love to do. I'm a mom, so I have a couple children. And I have fur babies. And they keep my life completely interesting. And when I'm not working and I'm not running a house, I write. All I can do is follow what I enjoy doing.
That's great. That's great. I love fur babies. We were just discussing before the show our fur babies. They make our life joyful.
They do.
Tell us a bit about how you deal with balancing the time for your work and balancing the time for playtime, whether with your family, friends, or your fur babies.
Well, I don't have a set pattern. I can't say I'm like some that are very devoted in one aspect. Life is messy. It gets in the way.
Yeah.
And so I balance.
Dawn, we lost you.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah. Sorry about that, audience. Could you repeat the answer?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That was weird.
Yeah, it was. All of a sudden, you weren't there.
I don't have a set pattern. I life's messy, of course, so you got to go with the punches at times. If I have a deadline I'm working on, then I do stick to that. Otherwise, the creative process, you can't force that.
Yeah.
And
go ahead. Dawn?
Can you hear me?
We're having some telephone connection problems. I do apologize. You were saying something about
mm-hmm.
Your family and stuff.
As far as with the family, I make plans and I stick to them. You just kind of work everything around each other. What I do mainly is at night when everything is settled down, it's when I can sit down and I work most of my creativeness. The
mm-hmm.
daytime is usually dedicated to getting the real life stuff done.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand that. When you were starting to become a writer, what was your influence? How did it all start? Was it in childhood? Was it a book? Was it a movie? Was it just something that was inside you? When did it start?
Well, of course, I've read since I was a child, but I would have to thank my third grade teacher for that. I traveled abroad and back into the United States very regularly, and I had just come back after being gone for 6 months, and I left my friends behind,
mm-hmm.
and I was sad, and my teacher, mm-hmm. of course, had asked us, write a story on your summer. Well, mine was just based off my summer, and I was sad with leaving my friends behind, and she read it aloud. And at that moment, she encouraged me because she says, you have so much potential. Well, at third grade, that's amazing for someone to hold you up like that. I think it really sets a precedence in your life.
Yes, absolutely. And to have that encouragement so young. You were saying you were always a reader. What kind of books did you enjoy?
When I was a little girl, I grew up on the Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew mysteries.
Ooh, I love you. I'm a mystery queen, too.
There you go. I used to wait by the mailbox waiting for the new series to come out.
Yep. Yeah, Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boys, that led to Agatha Christie, which also this is again going to tell my age to the audience. There was a series called Ellery Queen with Jim Hutton. So I had to read every Ellery Queen book that I could with Ellery Queen in it because there are some without him. that's the kind of what led me on my path of reading. It's just, it was a combination of my love of movies and television and my love, you know, a good story in it and my love of reading. They always connected. So I would watch a movie and, like, say I'd watch Pride and Prejudice with Jane Austen and I'd have to read every book that Jane Austen, and I'm still doing that. What was the did you go on a path from when you loved Nancy Drew? What are you, eclectic, or what kind of books do you like now?
I think I have a pretty broad variety, and I think some of it has a little bit to do with your mood. I'm a female,
mm-hmm.
so I'm hormonal.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And so during those. Really, I want to cry. I'm going to get a love story. I want something with a very sad storyline and that can pick me up at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And otherwise, I'm strictly mainly into action, adventure, mystery.
Yeah.
I am going to read, there's a few new authors that I'm looking to venture into because I've gotten some rave reviews on them, but they're in the mainstream for mystery.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm ready to check them out, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, and I want to see that new Agatha Christie that they just came out. They apparently they have a new Poirot.
Really?
Yeah, it was, there was a show called Being Poirot that David Suchet was the host of course, and during it, Stanley Tucci was the host of the, by PBS, blah, 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 and they said during that there is a new Poirot, and I'm like, really? And yeah, it's sort of like what they did with Peter Wimsey. They hired someone who has a style like Agatha to write a new Poirot.
Very nice.
Isn't that cool?
Well, I just made a note on my pad, so. The next thing to look into.
Yeah, it was just like that's how I found out about Wimsey. I was reading an article and it was talking about new books and the new Peter Wimsey book. I went, wait, Dorothy Sayers has been dead for years. How can it be a new Peter Wimsey book? But they were pretty good.
Okay, so they have a ghostwriter for those.
No, I mean, she's an actual mystery writer that they hired who actually completed the last manuscript that Dorothy didn't finish. She passed away before she could finish it.
Okay.
Yeah, and that book was actually, I like both of them, but that one was the better of the two new books that she wrote under. It actually had both of them as co-writers. It had Dorothy Sayers and Jill something Patton. I can't remember the middle name in it.
Nice.
But, yeah, I recommend it. But I love it. You're a mystery fan.
I am, and I write mystery. So, and
I think that's
like
great.
That's where your mood comes in. So I can get, if I'm aggravated or quite annoyed with somebody, I'll kill them off in a book.
I did that. Oh, don't you love the ability to do that? I mean, it's just a godsend.
Well, I mean, you figure you're exercising that anger from your brain.
Exactly. Yeah, I had a supervisor that she was just horrific, and she was like, she wanted me to answer the phone on the second ring, but my responsibilities was all over the place, and there was no way that I could always get to the phone on the second ring. So I made her the villain of the story I was writing.
Did she die with a phone cord wrapped around her neck? No.
That would have been ironic.
Yes. Yeah.
No, I had her being taken away screaming and yelling like an insane person.
Okay.
Don't be bad to a writer. You never know what's going to happen to you in the world of fiction.
Oh, yeah. Everything you say can and will be used against you in a book.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. It's our best vengeance.
Exactly.
And it's also really healthy.
Well, it is. You're exercising it from your brain. Writers, I think, are mentally probably the most healthiest because they don't carry baggage.
Yeah, you don't have to. Yeah, absolutely. And just think about people like Agatha and Dorothy. They probably had the most serene life because everybody who's ever hurt them, I mean, just think how many times she tortured Archie in her books.
Oh, I know.
He deserves it.
Well, yeah. Oh, that's comical. I love it.
I do too. Speaking of books, why don't you give the audience a taste of your book and what you'd like them to take away from it?
Well, I write realism.
Mm-hmm.
And I want them, very important, when they walk away after reading, they can see either themselves or even someone they know close to them. It's just all interrelatable. Mm-hmm. So I want them to get a feeling like they're not walking away feeling like that would never happen.
Yeah,
so realism is a big part. Mm-hmm. And as far as like a breakdown of my current book, or?
Well, just explain what the book is about. And, you know, you already told the message you want them to take away from it, but what's the book about? So they have an idea when they are going to go look you up.
Absolutely. Well, Out of the Mist, which I'm getting wonderful rave reviews, always blessed to get those.
We all do.
But that one kind of sets close to home because I see so much of it. The struggle, the inner battle that we have as women who are entering in the gay community, even as a young child, because we question our faith, we question the right or wrong. We're so brand new in a relationship, and it can be your first, it can be your second. It doesn't matter. That insecurity that you feel at that very moment, walking into that new relationship.
That's very interesting.
And so it portrays her battle. Mm-hmm.
And how is that weaved into the storyline?
It is. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then we have our strong, very strong character, which, of course, Jordan, which is her immediate supervisor, boss, that she is actually having her first real crush, wanting to have her first affair in the lesbian community, which is not, affair is probably a poor choice of words, but bringing her in. And you have Jordan, who has her own set of problems from her growing up in her type A home that she grew up, which really required that she set a certain example and had a certain criteria in her life. So she never really enjoyed it life. And the two combined, they complement each other so nicely. And it's not that easy. You don't get there that easy. Because no one gets on a white horse and runs off together. Life is just not that clean. It's messy.
Yeah.
And so they have to work to get there. But there's a lot of twists. Without giving a spoiler for those who haven't read it, I'm really kind of tap dancing here. without giving a spoiler on this, there's a lot of twists, there's turns, things come to light, things that you just say, oh my God, I didn't expect that. I can so see that now.
That's really cool. Yeah, it's really interesting about foreshadowing. It's a very difficult thing, but it's always interesting when you read a book and there's foreshadowing in it.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, you're thinking when you're reading it that, oh, that's interesting, but it's not important. And then you find out later it's really important. It's like the crux of the story. Do you do that, and do you find it difficult, or does it come very easily to you?
I've foreshadowed in some areas where I've gotten, well, why, what does that have to do with things? And then it's like, okay, now I get it. And I've done that, and because it is very important. It's giving you a hint in a direction, something that's going to be one of the main focuses later on. But you just want to give it just a little bit, kind of a tease, dangling
yeah.
that piece of chocolate in front of a chocoholic.
Yeah. Chocolate.
Yes, ma'am.
That's from one of my favorite episodes of Remington Steele, but not that I'm at all influenced by TV shows I grew up watching. As a writer, how do you feel about the different styles of publishing that are out there?
The different style of publishing, the different opportunities out there.
Mm-hmm.
I
yes,
think it's
you know,
wonderful.
Like indie, traditional self. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's
it's
good?
Wonderful.
Good.
I do, because it offers people outlets that they hadn't had years past. I'm skittish to ever want to be an indie, personally, because I'm so close to my own work. Even though I can edit it and reread the manuscript 20, 30 times, you're so close to it, so easy to skip over.
Yeah.
And I really believe you need other trained eyes on your work to help. So for
Absolutely.
Me, going with the publisher is beneficial for me, in my opinion. Plus, I don't want to do the formatting.
Well, yeah, that's true. But the thing is that the interesting thing for me, I've done both. I've had it published by a publisher, and I've done independent, and I've done self.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, I've done three. And you know what? They found mistakes in any of them. And the published one, too, with an editor and a professional publisher and all those people that were going over it, and they still found errors.
Oh, I see them, too. And I see them, too. In fact, I have a favorite author. I enjoy her work. And she has a publishing house. And I find errors in her work. And I'm like, oh, it doesn't take away from the story, though. But
no.
You do notice them sometimes. Sometimes they may be so subtle, you may not, if you're that engrossed in the story.
See, that's the thing. I don't really think it does, but then you get these nasty people who tear you to pieces because they feel that it's not worth it. I actually had one, and this was my published piece, published by a publisher. They said it was a waste of paper.
Oh. Now, I had a vicious
You never forget
attack.
Your bad reviews.
Well, I actually had a sidebar attacker. Wasn't even in the lesbian community, and the person never, guaranteed by the review, had never read my book. They were just sidebar Amazon, sitting in their chair, just going after authors. And it was just attacking me as a person.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we got that removed from Amazon because it was blatant tech. But the thing was, that was devastating.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're
Absolutely.
Just like, oh, my God. So,
and you're like, and what makes a person act that way? I bet you've never written a paragraph, let alone a book. So how can you even be like that, you know?
I think some people, I mean, it's like that old concept, like, well, we're even told when we're little kids and we're in school. If that little boy is picking on you or that little girl, one of two things. They either got a crush on you or they're jealous. And if they're jealous, it makes themselves feel better. To go after somebody else, there's something wrong with their psyche.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true. Ugh, so crazy. We don't have a lot of time, so I'd like to find out what you're working on now, and do you have any events that are coming up that the public can come see you at?
I have a few local book signings. I don't have definitive dates yet. We're still working out those little details, but I am working on a book. I'm kind of venturing in different directions. And I'm writing a book, and it is called Eternal Devotion. And it's a warrior, vampire-type book. It's a fun read. You would never guess it is, or that it's that type of book when reading it, because I'm not viewing it with the traditional style of what someone thinks a vampire, per se, book would be.
Hmm. That's interesting.
I love my own concepts. I like trying my own, yeah.
Yeah, that you're taking a genre and you're making it your own, that's always cool. And is that set to publish, or are you still working on it?
It's my work in progress. I'm almost a quarter of the way through.
Oh, okay. That sounds exciting.
I mean, the book is actually written from cover to from beginning to end. You know how you have different documents? You have, okay, this is what I'm looking here, and then you have a paragraph in this document, and my ending's already written.
Oh, wow, okay.
I jump around.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. I mean, every author has their own way, and I just think it's really interesting to pass that the words come. Don't you?
Oh, definitely, definitely. And I jump around, not because I'm lightheaded in any way that I can't stay focused, starting from beginning to end, but it's, I'll be sitting down and I'll be in the middle of doing something, having a conversation, and the scene starts playing out in my head. It's like a movie. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, that will be perfect. So I have to write it down. And then I put, okay, where about in the book I want that to go. And it may not go in that area. It could actually totally be a hook somewhere else in the book. But it's down on paper.
So you're a visual writer.
I'm sorry?
You're visual. You see, like, paintings in your mind.
Yes.
Because I do the same thing. And there are people who are just, they see the concept and the words pour into their head and it's all words. And there are other writers that are visual and you just see the the scenes go in your mind.
Exactly. Yeah,
so
I could play the whole book out. Mm-hmm. Don't you feel like you get more from it and you're giving more to your characters as far as their voice, their action, their direction, and your scenes by doing it that way?
Oh, yeah. It's more in-depth. There's certain things that you experiment when you're first starting, especially. You see do I feel more comfortable with paper and pen, or do I feel more comfortable putting it right into the computer? Do I feel more comfortable writing all my notes, or do I feel comfortable just going and let the characters tell me where to go? I mean, every author has their own path. And it's very important. It's very important to find where your comfort zone is.
I got asked yesterday, how do you come up with this stuff? And, I mean, there's no way to explain it to somebody if they
mm-hmm.
don't have that visual ability.
Mm-mm.
And it's just not sitting in front of a Word document and saying, okay, this is what I want to say. No, if I can't see it in my own mind, I can't smell it in my own mind, I can't see myself feeling what those characters are feeling at that moment, then I can't write it.
And the other thing is that, well, when you're a child, if you sort of lived in your imagination for whatever
mm-hmm.
reason, that is where a lot of the writing comes from. It's also, for me, where my acting ability came from. I used to do performances for my dolls and stuffed animals in my room.
How fun! You see what I did? We didn't have a TV. My mother refused to let us watch TV growing up.
I still watch television. It's just that I had this over... Oh, and the other thing I used to do was rewrite shows I didn't like the way it ended. I'm kidding.
I've done that.
I would watch a TV show, an episode, or a movie, even a movie, and I wouldn't like the way it ended, so... it's usually at night before I go to bed, and instead of whatever other people do, I sit there and I rewrite the show I just saw because I just didn't like the way it ended. Or, you know how today it's supposed to go into your imagination so it stops flat, and you're like, that's it? You're not going to tell us what happens after? Or you like a show so much that you keep going in your head.
Mm-hmm. Or you want to slap the writer for ending it so abruptly?
Yeah. I mean, it just makes me crazy. So that's the other thing that I do that I think I've done since I was a child that I think sort of lent myself to becoming a writer. That's how I started writing fan fiction, was because I if an episode didn't end the way I wanted it to or didn't end, I'd write my own ending.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, after you finish and you've done written the last word in the book and you've gone through your editing stage, and then you find yourself tap dancing through, I do the happy dance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've been asked to record that happy dance. It's not going to happen.
No, uh-uh. Sorry, that's private. Well done. It's been really fun. We're actually at the end of the half hour. It's gone really fast.
It has. It's been great. Fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm so good. Thank you for having me.
Oh,
and
thank
for
you for coming
on. Yeah. And for all those that are joining in and listening, thank you.
Thank you. And we all thank you for being part of the show. All of Dawn's information will be on my blog on Friday for anybody who wants to go to her blog or her website and to look at her books. Thank you, Dawn.
Thank you, Sherry. You have a great day.
Thank you. And thank you for chatting with Sherry.
Bye.